There is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides on the heavens to help you, and on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemy before you, saying, "Destroy him." So Israel will live in safety alone. Jacob's spring is secure in a land of grain and new wine, where the heavens drop dew. Blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zor. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. Amen.
There we go. Do keep that page open. And then the verse that, as Tim mentioned, we'll be looking at in particular is verse 29 of chapter 33. Now, why don't I pray for us as we begin? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you that it has the power to save us, Lord. And we do pray as we hear from it this evening, you'd give us the wisdom to understand it as you would have us understand it. Help us to be changed by it as you would have us be changed by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as many of you will know, 2 days ago marked the end of Barack Obama's reign as term as President of the United States. After 8 long years, he left the White House for one last time. And as his time came to an end, there was always going to be a lot of interest in his last speech at the White House. People were eager to see how he would inspire the nation. These are some of the words he said about America's future. "At my core, I think we're going to be okay. We just have to fight for it, work for it, and not take it for granted." He said a lot of other things, but these words in particular were intriguing. If anything, they were quite telling words. And what they revealed was a sense of uncertainty about the future. And in the passage, which contains our one verse today, Moses finds himself in a similar position. He had led the Israelites and labored for them for much of his life. He had asked God for mercy on their behalf, and it all but led them into the land that God had promised to give them. But now his time with them was coming to an end. Moses is told as he looks out over the land that he will not enter into it. The Israelites would enter in, but he would not. Moses was about to die. And in fact, the verse we're looking at contains his last recorded words before his death. So there's the backdrop to today's verse. And the verse comes right at the end of a section where Moses has spoken of the blessings of the tribes of Israel. And the striking thing about the verse is that despite the fact that Moses knows he is about to die, he seems so content in knowing that the Israelites will be okay. There's no uncertainty in his words. Unlike when Obama gave his last words as the president, you feel there's a confidence in Moses' words. Take a look at his words in verse 29. "Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower down before you, and you will trample down their high places." There's a real confidence in his words. He isn't guessing what might happen. And the reason for his confidence is because of the God whom they follow. A God who is far greater than the false gods of the other nations. There wasn't a single nation whose God could do for his people what the God of the Israelites did for them. It says back in verse 26, "There is no one like the God of Jeshurun," which is another name for Israel in Hebrew. They are a blessed people because of the God whom they follow. And as we take a look at the verse in more depth, we'll see that there are different parts of the blessing that Moses reminds them of. And what Moses has to say about God's people here bears a lot of truth for God's people today. We'll also see that there's a threat to that blessing. And finally, we'll think through where it leaves us. So to the first point, which you'll see in your sheet, the blessing. As I've already mentioned, Moses proclaims to the Israelites that they are blessed. And a lot of the time when that word blessed is used, it's referring to a happiness that's found in God. And in our verse, we see a few different ways in which Israel has been blessed. The first way that they've been blessed is that they are saved by God. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Moses is all too aware that it was God who saved the people to this point. It was God who led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. It was God who saved them when they approached the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army pursuing them. Israel were a blessed nation because God chose to save them. He set them free. And we know they did nothing to earn his favor. If anything, their rebellion and disobedience to God, which is seen throughout the Old Testament, would have been a strong reason for God to turn his back on them. But instead, he chose to save them. And every Christian who's ever lived also shares in the blessing of being saved by God. Every person who's ever come to faith has only done so because God saved them. It was God who sent his own Son into the world to bear the burden of our sin so that we wouldn't have to. It's God who gives a person the faith to believe. It's God that opens our blind eyes that we will see Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And it's God's own Spirit who comes and dwells in us, transforming us to be more and more like his Son, Jesus. Ephesians 2 describes us as dead in our sin, unable to save ourselves. We're dead. But it also says that we've been made alive. By who? By God. Stop for a moment and think about this. Every single Christian has been chosen by God. He knew them before they were even born. He knew how they would turn out. He knows all of their faults, all of their sins, every thought that they've ever had, every thought that they're going to have. He knows them. And yet, he chose to save them. He chose to save you, if indeed you are a Christian. And not just for now. You've been saved for eternity. Christians are blessed because they've been saved by God. And it should be the cause of great joy for us. It's the greatest blessing you could ever have. I wonder if you're still remembering that. I remember when I was about 10 years old and I was in Tauranga for a sports trip with my dad and my brother Ashley. And on one of the days, our team went out kayaking. And we were all out in the water when all of a sudden, two of the kayaks collided. Now, for some reason, my brother wasn't wearing a life jacket. And like most of my family, he can't swim. Anyway, he got knocked out of the kayak, and all I can remember was my dad standing on the beach in quite a panic. Now, if you've met my dad, you'll know he has quite a strong Indian accent. And I remember looking over to the beach and seeing his sudden realization as to what was going on. All of a sudden, he starts pointing and yelling, "Ashley in the water! Ashley in the water!" Now, luckily, one of the guys in my team, Scott, was quite a good swimmer. And he jumped in and saved Ashley and helped him back into the kayak. And from that point on, over the years, every time we'd see Scott, Dad would be so grateful and always remember him as the guy who saved Ashley. Even if we saw someone kayaking or doing some water-related activity, he remembers the time that Scott saved Ashley. And isn't it interesting how easily we can remember things like that, but how quickly we can often forget that it was God who saved us? Sometimes we only focus on the visible, which can vary, and we forget the invisible, which is wonderful. We get drawn into focusing on the temporary, and we forget the marvelous truths of what God has done for us in eternity. And we can forget how fortunate we are, how thankful we should be. Christians are truly blessed because because God saved them. The second way in which we see the Israelites are blessed is that God is like a shield and helper to them. That's the next point on your sheet. After all that they've been through, it seems pretty obvious that God has been protecting them both in a physical sense and in a spiritual sense. It becomes clear to us as we read through the Old Testament. His people were often under attack or going to war, and yet they could take confidence in knowing that he was protecting them and watching over them. It was God who freed them from slavery in Egypt and from the rule of Pharaoh. It was God who protected them when the Egyptian army chased them to the Red Sea. It was God who had helped them and provided manna for them when they had no food in the wilderness. The fact that they had made it to this point within reach of the promised land was testimony to the fact that God was a shield and a helper to them. God had protected them. He had helped them. And for Christians today, we too have God as a shield and helper. Now that doesn't mean that God will prevent us from any physical harm. He may do so in his mercy. But it does mean that he will protect us and help us spiritually. We're told in various places in the Bible of the ways which God helps us and protects us. Now, one example of this is in 1 Corinthians 10, where it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So God helps us when we're tempted. Another example is when Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to his people in John 14. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Through the Holy Spirit, God helps his people to live their lives for him. Now, these are just a couple of ways in which God has been and continues to be a shield and helper to his people. But maybe you don't feel as though God has helped you. Maybe you've faced some hardships since you became a Christian. Maybe it's to do with your friendships, relationships, or your health, or your finances. Maybe you've lost loved ones. Maybe you're facing some hardships at the moment that make you question whether God really is your shield and your helper. You've been dealt a rough hand. At these times, Satan would love nothing more than to see us turn away from God. He would love to see our circumstances break us. But God has other ideas. A helpful thing to do in these times is to remind yourself of the truth. Remind yourself that even when it doesn't feel like it, God's love for us doesn't change. And his promises to us don't change. It's like this shirt. Most of you will be able to see that it's got blue on it. But imagine it's pitch black in here. There's no light, and all of a sudden, you can't see what colour the shirt is. But even though you can't see it, the shirt remains blue. And like the colour of the shirt, even when the circumstances around us change, God's love for us and his promises to us remain constant. They don't change. And while there are times when he mercifully protects us and helps us physically, he doesn't promise to do it. Another great passage to remind us of God's consistency and protecting us and helping us spiritually comes in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, neither anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a wonderful truth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, even when we don't feel loved. And I'm sure if you're a Christian today, you'll be able to think of times where God has been your help and your shield. Satan has attacked you in some way, but God has been with you and shielded your faith and helped you through. I know I can think of a couple of times where that's been the case. It didn't feel like it like God had been shielding me at the time. It felt like the complete opposite. But only when I looked back was I able to see that God had held on to me as he promised to do. But at the time, I had forgotten God's promises. The third way in which the Israelites were blessed is that they had God as their glorious sword. In many places in the Old Testament, we see God strike down Israel's enemies and give them the victory. And as Moses says his final words, he reminds them that God has been with them in their battles, and he will be with them in their battles to come. As they entered the promised land, they had to conquer it, and God would be with them as they did. We can understand that, but is God a glorious sword for all believers today? Can this part of the verse be applied to all Christians? Well, the answer is yes, but it's not a physical battle as it was for the Israelites. Rather, it's a spiritual battle. Where God fought for the Israelites physically, he fights for us spiritually. And the sword, the weapon which we have, is Jesus Christ. Jesus fights for us the battle that we can't. When we stumble, we have Jesus there fighting on our behalf. And through his life, his death, and his resurrection, we have all that we need for the victory. Isn't that wonderful? When we struggle in 2017, we have Jesus fighting for us to strengthen us to battle against sin when we have no strength of our own. We won't be alone in trying to live for God in this year ahead. And that leads to the final way in which we see Israel was blessed. They had a sure victory. It says, "Your enemies will cower before you, and you will trample down their high places." As I mentioned earlier, Israel would eventually move into the promised land and take it by force from the Canaanites. It was a sure thing because God was with them. And while it looks different for us, we too have a sure victory. See, Satan would have us believe that we don't. He'll remind us of all our failings. He'll remind us of the times that we give in to sin. He'll tell us that we won't be able to stand in the face of temptation. He'll try and convince us that there's no way God could ever love us, that ultimately we won't be good enough for God. But even when we face attacks such as these, we can know that God is faithful. We know from our past that God has indeed given us the victory. If that weren't the case, then none of you would be following Christ today at the start of this new year. The fact that any Christian is hanging on in their faith is only because God has given them the victory. While circumstances might make us feel like we surely won't last, God provides a way. And when we felt as though we can't go on any longer, he has provided us with a way. We have a God who is faithful. And because of that, we have the victory. He won't suddenly stop loving his children. He won't forsake us or leave us. He won't allow us to perish apart from him. Remember Romans 8, nothing can separate us from his love in Christ Jesus. He gives us the victory through Christ, and it will never be taken from us. We can know that we are a blessed people because of who he is. So these are the blessings which come to those who have put their trust in Jesus. There is truly no one like those who follow him. We have in him a Savior, a shield and helper, and a glorious sword who has secured for us the victory over Satan. He has secured for us the victory over sin and death. And that victory means that one day we will reign with him in eternity. Now, if you're not sure what to think of Jesus, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, then I hope today you might consider the great blessings that you're missing out on. Being saved by God, having him as a shield and sword, and the blessing of knowing with certainty that your future is secure for all eternity. Don't miss the blessings which are offered to you if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, as we carry on, I wonder if sometimes we think that the blessing of being a Christian as only in the life to come and not in this life. I wonder if you don't actually feel as though life as a Christian is a blessing. And perhaps you don't actually find a continuous sense of joy in knowing that you have been immensely blessed. In fact, maybe you don't find any joy in the blessings that you have as a Christian. Well, this leads to the last point on your sheet, the threat. There seems to be a reason that Moses reminds the Israelites of the blessings that they have in the Lord in our verse today. He wouldn't just remind them for the sake of reminding them. Rather, he reminds them of their blessings because he knows how quick they have been to forget all that God has done for them. And when they forget what he's done for them, they fall into sin. They would turn away from the true God and seek after false gods. There is a real threat when we fail to recognize and enjoy the blessings that we have as believers. The Israelites wouldn't have turned from the true God if they had truly enjoyed the blessing that was given to them. Imagine if a person has their dream job and it gives them enjoyment and satisfaction and they recognize how fortunate they are to have it. Then they're unlikely to go looking for another job. And when a Christian recognizes how blessed they are in the Lord, they're less likely to turn away from him and to turn to the things that the world has to offer. But if we don't recognize that we are blessed through Christ, we start to look elsewhere for our enjoyment. We start to think that the Christian life is just difficult and boring, and that there's just no joy in it. We start to think that we'd be better off living for the things that we actually think will give us joy. And these things will look different for all of us. Maybe we think it'll be through new friendships, maybe through a new relationship. Maybe we think it'll be through a successful career, or perhaps living in a more carefree way, or by living in a more carefree way, we'll find more satisfaction. Isn't it easy for us to be tempted to find satisfaction apart from God when we don't feel blessed? When we don't feel like the Christian life is full of blessings? It's a real threat to our faith when we don't see that the Christian life is more blessed than any life apart from God ever could be. I want you to think for a moment what it would look like for you to consider yourself as blessed. Maybe it would mean getting married, getting a job, getting a promotion, finishing a degree, repairing a broken relationship, having children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, owning your own house. These are all good things. But we're often thinking of the next thing, and in the back of our mind, we believe that only when we get it will we truly feel blessed. I remember thinking that way just a couple of weeks ago. I had a cricket tournament, and I remember thinking, if I could just do well here, then life will be better. I'll make a higher team, and I'll actually feel like God has blessed me. But isn't that how Satan would have us think? Wouldn't he want to distract us from the fact that as God's people, we are already blessed in the ultimate way? Wouldn't he want us to rely on material things, which are good things, but things that are not a good measure of whether God really loves us? And wouldn't Satan then, if we don't get those things, want us to question the value of being a Christian? Of course he would. When we don't enjoy the blessings that God has given us, there is a threat to our faith. And that threat has an impact on the way we share the gospel with others as well. See, why would someone want others to share in the wonderful blessing and hope of the Christian message if they themselves don't think that the gospel is great? If we ourselves aren't struck by the blessings of the Christian life, how can we expect anyone else to be struck by them? How can we expect others to see the wonderful blessings of the Christian life if we ourselves don't see it? The threat is real. So for those of us who are struggling to enjoy the blessings that we have as God's people, what do we do? Well, just as God is the only one who is able to truly bless us, he too is the only one who is able to help us to see how blessed we are. The only way Israel would be able to see that they were truly blessed was if God changed their hearts. And for us too, the only way we will delight in the blessings we have heard about today is if God changes our hearts this year to allow us to delight in him more and more. If he changes our hearts to see the lengths that he went to save us, to see the way in which he has shielded us and helped us, and to see how through Christ he has won for us the victory that we could not win on our own. When we start to understand that in our hearts, only then will we truly start to recognize how blessed we are. Only then will we be so grateful for the way that he has loved us and treated us that it will cause us to want others to also share in that blessing. Well, as we close, I'm going to leave us some time to think through and recognize the ways in which we don't acknowledge the blessings that we have in Christ. And it'll give us a chance to ask for God's help to delight in what he has done for us. So a time of silence, and then I'll pray for us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful verse which reminds us just how blessed we are if we do indeed follow you. Please help us when we don't feel that blessing. Please remind us of your great love for us, which we have seen in the person of Jesus. Help us to grow in our understanding of who he is, one who is able to save us, shield us, and help us, and gain for us eternal life with you. Help us to remember how truly blessed we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.